Jesus bugged his disciples. We don't really like to think that Jesus bugged his disciples, but he did. Jesus bugged his disciples at every turn. Jesus was as a father. He was as a brother. He was as a teacher. He was as a sharer. He was as a friend. He was as a person who recognized what and who they were. Can you imagine the staff of the royal court taking care of the children of the royal court? And the staff of the royal court had to always make sure that they were saying things correctly, make sure that they were talking truth, make sure that they were saying things which represented the kingdom, which represented who they are. Now, first of all, for people to follow a leader, people have to have confidence in the leader and in who the leader is. But before they can follow a leader in who they have confidence in who the leader has to be who the leader is. Now, who is the leader? Not what is his name and where does he come from, but what are his values? What are his standards? What are his attitudes about himself and about his world? What is the leader's point of view about life? How does a leader recognize who he is? Now, a good leader is not a person who goes around telling other people what to do. A good leader is one who goes around doing what he believes is right and good and beautiful. Now, Jesus bugged his disciples by being so fantastic. They all asked Jesus to do the things that he taught them to do. They all say, "We can't do it. We can't do it. We go out and we want to do the things you tell us to do, Jesus, but we can't do it." And Jesus said to them, "Oh, you of little faith." In other words, you of little practice. You haven't been practicing what we are teaching here, what we are sharing here, what we are living here. Practice it. If I can do it, you can do it. And I can do it because I practice it. I practice it. And I'm sure this bugged the living daylights out of his disciples because they saw how easily Jesus did all the things he did. And they believed in him and they loved him and they wanted to be just like him. They wanted to live their life from that beautiful point of view. They wanted to have that respect that he had for himself. They wanted to have that respect he had for himself. And they followed him. Now, why did he have 12 and why did he have more? Why did he have these people who wanted to be around him? Why did he have these people who wanted to be in his life? What value could these people have from being nearby the teacher, from being nearby the master? What value? When a child is brought up in a family, and the father of the family is a father with values, the father is a man who is always looking for honesty, not looking for, but living honesty and living truth. The father wouldn't think of doing a dishonest thing. The father wouldn't think of doing anything which was improper in any way. The mother, the ideal mother, every family has the ideal father and the ideal mother. You say, "Well, you haven't seen my parents." Well, I've seen you, and I know how wonderful you are, and you are my reflection. And if you are my reflection, and I see you as wonderful and good and beautiful, you must have beautiful parents. You must have beautiful brothers and sisters. You must have a beautiful family. You could not be as beautiful as I see you as my reflection if you did not have that. Hence and therefore, every family on the face of the earth is a noble and beautiful family. Every father is a man of integrity. Every mother is a man of beauty and genius and wonder. Every family is the ideal family. Yes. And this is all, this is all that the Master, this is all that Jesus expected from his disciples, that they come out of master families, that they come out of master parents, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles and cousins. They come from a whole line. They come from a whole line of family, all of whom were noble and good and great, all of whom were leaders, all of whom were people that the world looked up to and respected and loved. And Jesus expected each of the disciples, he expected each person in his world to be a reflection of him, a reflection of who he was. And therefore, and to it, he looked at each disciple and saw himself. He looked at each disciple and saw himself, and in seeing himself in each disciple, he saw each one as noble and good and fine and beautiful and fabulous in every glorious way. He probably didn't bug them as much as we think he did, but he was the ideal example, and they chose to be with him as he chose them. For he was their ideal example. For he was their reflection. Hey! Jesus was the reflection of each disciple. And each disciple had an aspect of his being that he was working on, developing and creating and revealing and understanding. And Jesus saw that in each one. He saw in each one the wonderful qualities that he is. What does your father and your mother see in you? Do they see themselves? Does your mother say you never behave? Does your mother say you never do something? No, she couldn't do that, because she would be enunciating something that wasn't true. Your mother says, you are always an obedient child. You are always good. You are always honorable. You are always fantastic. You represent this family. You represent the majesty of this family. You represent our kingdom. You represent who we are. And wherever you go, people look at you and say, wow, what a glorious family you must live in. What a glorious world you must live in. What a glorious life you must live. And how wonderful are your parents. Are your brothers and sisters and your aunts and uncles and cousins, are everyone in your world? How glorious indeed. Yes, how glorious indeed. Think good thoughts always. Think good thoughts always. This is what Jesus saw in his disciples. This is how Jesus bugged his disciples, by being that which he was. Now, some misinterpreted. Some thought he should be the king of the Jews, and he never thought that, because he knew he was the king of himself. He knew he was the king of all he surveyed. He knew he was the master of all. He didn't need a title. He didn't need the world to recognize it as long as he recognized it. And this is what Jesus taught to his disciples. It's done unto you according to your belief about yourself. And is your belief about yourself that you are glorious and good and wonderful and fabulous and magnificent in every way, shape, and form? Is your belief about yourself that you are divine? You could not be my disciple, Jesus might have said to them. You could not be my disciple unless you were divine. He would have put it in the positive. You are my disciple. You are divine. There's no doubt about it. There's no possibility it could be any other way. For the disciples are divine, and you and I, each of us, you and me, each of us, we are disciples, and we're divine. And we are Jesus, and we're divine. We are the allness in the universe, and we are the individuality of the universe. We are that which is, and that which always will be. And we like life. And we like life because life is so thrilling, so rewarding, so uplifting. Life is so actually the ideal expression of who and what I am. No, Jesus never could have bugged his disciples because he saw them as he saw himself. You and I could never be bugged by a world in which we live because our world is a reflection of who we are. Our world is a reflection of the life we're living. Our world is a reflection of how we call ourselves good and very good. Our world is a reflection of all that is good and beautiful. Our world is a reflection of how we look at ourselves. Our world is a reflection of our mothers and fathers through us, our sisters and brothers through us, our friends and neighbors through us, our country through us, our world through us, our universe through us. All of life, as we think good thoughts always, is a reflection of who we are and what we are and how we are and how we live our noble, notable lives. You have the choice of being a disciple of all that is good. You might call that Master Jesus, you might call the Master God, you might call the Master the Queen, the King, the Prince, the Princess, you might call them anything you like. But when you get down to it, you have all around you as a reflection of who and what you are. And who and what you are is all that is good. Bug your world by seeing them perfect and good in every way. Bug your families, your brothers, your sisters, by seeing them perfect in every way. And bug your mom and your dad by being perfect in every way. And watch the fun that life becomes living it that way. Living it as the ideal that you are now. I love you. I love you. I love you.